Welcome to another edition of 100% Canucks. John Shannon here, Landon Ferraro there. Landon, our guest today is Kevin Lankinen. And I dare say the Canucks' backup goaltender, because I don't think he deserves to be called the backup goaltender based on his success last year and the fact he's got a lovely new long-term contract. But when you look at the duo of Demko and Lankinen, Canucks are in pretty good shape in that position, aren't they?
You'd like to think so, for sure. Like, you know, he played 4 years prior, two in Nashville, two in Chicago. But, you know, in Nashville, he's behind a pretty good goalie in Juuse Saros. And so you see his name pop up once in a while, but he signs in Vancouver and you're like, well, you know, Demko's hurt and, you know, they need some help. So it makes sense. And then he gets here and he was not that I didn't think he was a good goalie, but he showed so much more that he had. And you could tell that he was waiting for that opportunity to be able to show everyone and prove to everyone that he could be that guy. And even when things got real tough here, he was one of the few guys that you knew every single night he was going to be on his game and really give you a chance to win. And I mean, he gained the respect of the players and like his teammates really quick. And me sitting up on the media side, like, he was fun to watch.
Well, I think it's fair to say that without Kevin Lankinen, this hockey club was nowhere near getting a chance to get to the playoffs. And I think first half of the season, he was the team MVP, right?
He really was. And obviously Quinn Hughes was doing his thing, but right. At the same time, like, it's not even, I don't think that saying that, you know, they wouldn't have been close to the playoff or, like, you know, been close to making the playoffs, like, it would have been a lot closer to the other end of the spectrum.
Yes.
Like, yeah. he won some really big games for them. And, you know, I forget the number now, but I think, what was it, 14 overtimes?
Right.
That, like, he got them to that point a lot of the time. Like, he was a massive piece for this team last year and one of the few really good bright spots.
Yeah, you know, so it's fascinating, too, because if you look back, say, 3 years, or let's look back to the Nashville Canucks playoff series that, again, Thatcher gets hurt and Artur Shelov ends up coming in and saving the day. And remember, DeSmith got hurt as well. Mm-hmm. And I think there'd be a lot of people at that point to say, well, the future of goaltending beyond Demko was going to be Shelov's. Yeah. And here we are. 2.5 years later, Shelov's is now a Pittsburgh Penguin after the success he had at Abbotsford last year. Lankinen, who, by the way, signed his contract in Vancouver on September 21st of 2024. So at this point last year, he was not even a member of the Vancouver Canucks and made a huge impact for this hockey club. So we, Landon and me, will take some time to speak with number 32, of the Vancouver Canucks, Kevin Lankinen, on this edition of 100% Canucks.
I won't keep you long. Darren Millard with a tip for everyone who loves great hockey podcasts like this one. John Shannon and I host the OG of 100% Hockey, coming your way multiple times a week. The guest list is the best you will find. Multiple shows a week ensures you won't miss out on any news, and we dig even deeper into the biggest stories around the NHL. Most of our guests are also friends, so I promise there'll be more conversation beyond the X's and the O's. John really does get bored with that after a while. So join us for 100% Hockey. The name says it all. Subscribe now while you enjoy thinking about it, and enjoy.
Welcome back to 100% Canucks, joined by Canucks goaltender Kevin Lankinen. Kevin, I've just got to remind you of some dates. A year ago today, you were unemployed. You didn't have a job. And within 10 days, the Canucks had signed you to a deal. Can you describe your mindset a year ago and how concerned you were about getting a chance to play in the NHL again?
Yeah, it's funny you asked, because I don't think the big audience kind of knows the story behind it. Yeah, it was a different summer for sure, but at the same time, it was a well-calculated risk in a way where I wanted to search for the right opportunity, and then obviously the Canucks felt like the right one, which just prolonged the negotiation for a little bit. So I think at this point, I probably knew it's going to be the Canucks. It was just a matter of time.
So this was not an urgency in the Lankinen household. What are we going to do? Where are we going? There's no pressure at that point.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you probably wish you would have signed July 1st, but at the end of the day, it was more about the opportunity for me than the contract itself. And now looking back, it was easy to say it was the right decision.
And that opportunity, obviously, was that you knew Thatcher Demko was going to be missing the first part of the season. So it was, you know, you had been stuck behind UC Saros in Nashville for a couple of years. So you get that opportunity here and like you hit the ground running pretty good. Like what was it like coming in to a city, you know, a few days before camp starts and then basically being the number one guy? Like you took that job pretty quick.
Yeah, it was cool. I think I was prepared for it. I kind of realized when the summer kind of prolonged a little bit that I got to be ready to hit the ground running from day one. So, coming into Vancouver, I was just super, super excited. Obviously, at the same time, I joined the team halfway through training camp and pretty much had like one or two practices before we did preseason games. So I felt like it was my time to shine, but also I felt confident because the preparation had been there for years.
How much of that, when you talk about preparation, is communication with your teammates and what happened, I guess, in the rest of camp before the regular season started? That would have probably been the most important thing, correct?
Yeah, and I think as a goalie, it's probably a little easier to come in because you're not too worried about X's and O's. You're just worried about stopping the puck, right? So in the big picture, it's a simple job. But as the season goes along, you obviously get to know the little details, which can help you get familiar with the structure and the team and the guys itself.
And so why was Vancouver such a great fit for you?
Well, I wanted to find a place where I could play more games. Being stuck behind Juuse Saros, who was an elite goalie in this league, it was hard to earn more starts, even though I was playing well. So that was the number one objective for me, to showcase myself and get the right opportunity. But at the same time, I knew how competitive the team was the year before. Like we met them in the first round of playoffs, and I could tell that the skill and the talent that they have here. Third, probably just the city itself, which is hard to beat around here. So it's just a great lifestyle too.
And then, like, obviously you played with Kiefer Sherwood in Nashville and he signs here. So he was here, but like you come in so late, like, you know, they're already been kind of skating before camp. Did you know anyone else on the team to kind of help ease you in, or was it literally just thrown into the deep end and meet everyone on the go?
Yeah, I knew Sherwood. I knew Pius Suter from Chicago a couple of years prior. But most of all, it was just a funny dynamic because just a few months before we had met these guys in the playoffs. So they were like your number one enemy. And then you're coming in to join the room, which was kind of funny. But also I got to give a lot of credit to our goalie coach, Marco Torrenius, which we had a little bit of history with from Helsinki, from Finland, from previous years. And just having him there to support and just a familiar face, you know, because he's still the main coach you interact with every single day. So that was a huge part of it too.
Were you surprised you weren't drafted in the NHL?
I wasn't. I was disappointed, I'll tell you that. I wished for it. I hoped for it. Two summers in a row, I was sitting watching the draft and my name not getting called. So I remember the second summer where it didn't happen, I was so pissed off. I put on my joggers, my running shoes, and went to the woods for a two-hour run because I was so pissed off. And I just got a chip on the shoulder ever since. So I think that was just some fuel for my fire.
So then with that, and then obviously signing originally in Chicago, where and how has your game changed in that period of time? Blackhawks, Predators, Canucks?
Change a lot. I think I'm more... As a younger guy, I was more like a natural puck stopper. I would always just rely on my instincts and reactions and just kind of read the game as it goes along. And then over the years, we developed more of a structure, more of a game plan. especially in Nashville with Ben Vanderklok, and now coming here with Marco Terenius, we kind of evolved my game to a next level, which is still happening to this day and moving forward. So it's more of a structure, kind of a little bit of a calm presence now than it was before.
So, like, you know, your first year, or your, it would be in the 2021 year there, or sorry, I've messed that up, it was the 2019 year. Like, you have your start over here and you're in Rockford, you get some games, but then you go to the World Championships and you guys go on a great run there. Like, was there a moment before that, or was it kind of the World Championships where you're like, you know, I can not just succeed over here, but like I can really play. Like, I can be a big difference maker for a team.
Yeah, I think the mindset when I signed my first contract with the Blackhawks was like, well, I'm going to come in and I'm going to play in the NHL. I think that's how a lot of guys think, because you're the guy back home and you're like, this is my gig. But the day you arrive, you realize how hard the competition is over here just to make opening night roster, or even if you're in the American League, how hard the competitive side of it is. And then you kind of see, okay, maybe I'm not mature enough. My game's in there just yet, what I need to do. And I played that full season in Rockford, and then following the World Championships, that was kind of an eye-opener, because in the World Championships, I played against the best players in the world. We met Russia, who had their probably best team ever in the World Championships, with Ovechkins and Malkins and Kaprizov and all these guys, you know. We played Sweden, who had their top lineup. We played Canada, who had a full NHL lineup too, and I was still zero NHL experience at that point. And then we go on this run and we beat them all to take home the gold medal. So that was kind of the eye-opener for sure.
The fascination we always have about the international game is, and we talk about it, but I don't think we understand it. When you go to Rockford, Rockford's ice rink is 200 by 85. When you play international hockey, sometimes outside of Finland, it's 200 by 100. In Finland, they have the hybrid ice, though, correct? The 95-foot wide. So how much of an adjustment does that take for you to make when you go from NHL size rinks to the international rink?
It is a little different game, I'll tell you that. The angles are a little different, and it feels like there's more time by the boards, because you probably don't have enough room to pressure. So you probably leave the guys on the perimeter more and they have more time to hold the puck, whereas you probably don't generate as much of those grade A chances because everybody's packed in front of the net, but there's more possession time and it's not as back and forth hockey as it is here in North America. But I only played 1 year here before I went back to World Championships, so it was still fresh memory for me. So it was easy to adjust to that tournament.
What do you remember of Four Nations? Because you were on that Finnish team, and you know, we all get caught up Canada, USA, but I tell you what, the Sweden-Finland game was just as exciting in my mind as the Canada USA game. What was your memories of what happened in Boston and Montreal at Four Nations?
Just an overall great experience. That was a big goal of mine, to make that team going into the season, and getting the nod against Sweden, you know, was huge for me. And then obviously taking home the win in overtime was one of the coolest moments in my hockey career so far. Just because it's such a unique experience with all the best, absolutely best players being there. So I think that was a good buildup for this year and the upcoming Olympics.
And where are you with the Finnish Olympic team? You've had an orientation camp already?
Yeah. So we did that, in Helsinki, Finland, before everybody came over here, and we're on the long list. So hopefully I can showcase myself to earn that spot on the team. That's another big goal for me.
So you talk about like how big that, you know, especially the Finland-Sweden overtime game, like you make the save right off the opening draw, then the one just before Granlund goes down and scores. Like, that's a really big moment for you. Did you know when you first started playing at the beginning of last season, you start winning all the road games, and before you know it, you strung on 10 in a row to set an NHL record? Did you know at any point, or hear from the media or anything, that you were close to breaking a record?
Oh, I think I might have heard about it like after game nine, like, okay, there's one more game to go. So I knew going into that game against the Red Wings, which was kind of cool because the guy who previously owned the record was Cam Talbot, the goalie for Red Wings, who was on the other end that night. So it was just a cool matchup, and just I was just so pumped up and so ready for the battle, and thankfully we got the win there. But I'm pretty good at canceling out the noise and staying out of media, social media, and just, you know, doing my own business. So I don't really get caught up with a lot of stuff like that. But I couldn't miss it when the teammates started talking about it.
You just like having big games against Detroit. I saw like your first ever career game or win was against Detroit as well. Like, do you just save up those big moments for them?
I guess it's more of a coincidence, but yeah, I like playing those guys.
Just curious, who's your best friend in hockey?
Best friend in hockey would be Jonas Korpisalo, the goalie from Boston Bruins.
And what is, so how many times a week is this a daily texting or what do you work with him in the off season and back home?
Yeah, so we're really close buddies. We grew up playing together, and then I was a best man in his wedding. He was a best man in our wedding, and we still stay in touch throughout the season, like pretty much on a weekly basis. So it's cool to have one of your best friends to be in the same position with you, because such a unique situation playing NHL hockey so far away from home. So there's just so much to learn and to juggle thoughts with. So I think it's just really helpful to have somebody in the same position.
By the way, when did you come back to Vancouver?
So I've been here for 4 weeks now, so I'm ready to go as camps hit going.
You weren't, well, you weren't messing around like last year, right?
Vancouver.
Yeah, I figured. I learned from last year. Like, I'm going to do it different this time, just because the summer was so long and I felt like I wanted to see the summer part of Vancouver too. You always hear the rave about the city, how cool it is in the summertime. And now we had an opportunity to come in early and put in the work here before the camp starts. So it's been really cool to be here.
And your relationship with Thatcher Demko, how does that work out, and exactly what happens between the two of you as you guys prepare for camp?
Yeah, I mean, we've been skating together for the past 4 weeks here, and we just built a fantasy team together for NFL this year. So I just get a text from him that our bench guys are looking good tonight, which is too bad. But no, we're good buddies. And I think our relationship is really good, and it's a fruitful situation for not only the team, but the both of us.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about the fantasy football team now. Who's your quarterback?
Okay, so I got to admit, this is my first year doing fantasy football. So okay. Thank God I got Thatcher in my corner, because he did the groundwork. But I cheered for the Eagles and Hurts. So we got him as a quarterback, and he did well in week one. So we're lucky to have him.
And so in Chicago and in Nashville, would you have gone to Bears games and Titans games?
I did, yeah. It was a cool experience. And obviously we don't have football in Finland like that. So it's just a nice thing to see of the culture here.
So, you know, you're back here for 4 weeks, but like, what was something that when the season finished, you're like, I really want to focus on this part of my game or this part of training? What was kind of the top thing you really, really went after this summer?
Yeah, so that last year, I think I played 52 games plus preseason and Four Nations on top of it. So that must have been the most games I played in a season so far. So I was a lot to learn from the mental side, but from the physical side as well. I kind of realized what it takes on the body to be able to be on top of your game for 50 plus, 60 plus games. So I did a lot of strengthening work at the gym, stronger than ever. I gained a few kilos of muscle this summer just to make sure my joints and my ligaments are protected for the wear and tear for the season. But most importantly, on the hockey part, I learned just watching Thatcher and practicing with Marco, the goalie coach, kind of have to manage the traffic. How do you play different situations when the guy's in front of you and just a little small adjustments like that.
Do you like lots of work in a game, or are you one of those guys that can just be prepared for the 22 to 25 shots? Or are you a guy that wants 40 every night? And I don't think any coach would ever like you to have 40 every night.
Yeah, I mean, probably the Optimum is somewhere between 20 and 30 just to feel the game. But at the same time, you know, I've learned not to think about it too much. That's something I can't control. The only thing I can control is how present and how focused I am when the puck's coming my way. So I think I don't really care if it's a 40 game, 40 save shutout or, you know, 20 shots and 5-6 win, as long as, you know, the team wins.
Are you a talker on the ice?
Yeah, I talk to myself. I talk to the teammates and try to keep myself active there.
So like going back to last year and not getting into all of it, but you know, there was a lot of noise around the team, and yet, you know, you played the most games you've ever played and you played phenomenally as well. Like, how did you keep yourself so centered and make sure you were ready to go each night to give the team a chance? Like, you know, I was a forward and, you know, I could get frustrated and go do different things for you. Like, you got to stand there and stop the puck and you got to stay calm. Like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of being goalie. Just how do you block out the noise, the distraction? How do you stay centered? How do you stay present? And I think that's a lot of work that you do outside of hockey with, you know, visualization, breath work, meditation, all these kind of things that have helped me throughout my career. But it's a long way. It's a long journey. I think I learned it the hard way when I was 19, when I played in Finland for the biggest club over there in Helsinki. And I was kind of the guy there. And hockey is still the biggest sport, like it's here in Canada. And there's a lot of noise and a lot of chatter around the team. And then you kind of realize, okay, like, I don't need this. This is not going to help my game. So just learn how to zoom out and kind of cut the noise and just focus on what matters the most.
Tell us about the meditation.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trick in my back pocket there. I usually don't talk about it too much because it's a pretty unique thing and a lot of people do it in all their own different ways. But just the mental part of hockey in general, I think there's so much to it. And sometimes guy might not talk about it enough of it because there's the strength and conditioning and hockey side. But, you know, we're human too and we have brains that are they're made to think. And when you're playing hockey, you don't want to think. You want to just be there and play. So those are, you know, a couple of different things that you can do to help that feel present in the game.
And is that on a daily basis or is it specific to game days? How much meditation would you do on a regular basis during the regular season?
I like to do it. Yeah. Not going into specifics, but it's a good routine of mine.
And not again, you don't have to say what they are, but like when you're in the thick of a game and, you know, say that you've just had like a big flurry of chances or you made a mistake and let a goal in, like something you're not happy about, like, do you have ways or keywords or things like that that like can kind of help you snap back into just focus on what's coming ahead or do you deal with things a different way?
Totally. No, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Affirmations, some keywords that bring you back to the moment, you know, whether if it's, you know, eyes on the puck or stay present or just whatever it is that works for you. It could be something that works today and something totally different that works tomorrow, but just having that toolbox and all the, you know, tools in your back pocket there to know that which day you need to pull this one and the other day you need to pull that one out there. So it's just experience and a lot of work and preparation.
Do you view yourself as an emotional guy on the ice?
On the ice, not so much. Even keel, at home, probably more so. But on the ice, I'm pretty cool. Pretty cool.
And you've always been that way?
I think so. It's part of my human nature.
So you say you're a bit more emotional off the ice. Like, you know, what's the things you like doing when you get away from the game? Are you a golfer or like what's your hobbies?
I mean, I've been a big reader for my whole career. I like to read books just to get my mind off of hockey, do things that make me feel grounded. You know, I was just on a nice evening walk here with my wife to watch the sunset. And, you know, just all these small little things in life that makes you feel alive instead of just being on your phone or watching TV all day. You just kind of put your mind in a different place a little bit.
Okay. So on your, who's on your reading list and is it in English or in Finnish?
Both. I think that's been helpful.
Who's on your English reading list right now?
Oh, I got a couple of books this summer that I like to dig into. There's a book from Yuval Noah Harari about like human psychology and human history in general. I got a book from it tells about Canadian history as well. Just I'm a little bit curious of kind of how this everything shaped up as it is. And I read a big book about the U.S. history as well when I lived in Nashville and in Chicago, just to kind of get a bigger picture of the world that's around us.
You know, there's a lot of Finland in Canada and a lot of Canada in Finland. You know, we're kind of similar people, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, the nature is pretty similar. The climate's similar, too. And I think that I like the Canadian people, the mindset, you know, a lot of people are out of ground that they respect the nature. They respect, you know, their privacy, too, maybe a little bit in a way where Finnish people do. So it's a good fit for us.
Well, bringing it back to this season, you know, we're basically a week away from training camp starting up in Penticton. Like, what gets you excited about this team? You know, again, after last year, things go that way. It's a brand new start. Like, what gets you excited about the team going into camp this year?
I'm just excited to keep building. You know, I love our D core. We have a lot of talent and speed up front. I like our goalie tandem. I think it's pretty high on the list there. And of course, fresh new faces in the coaching staff, which is going to be super excited to see how Futter takes over. I mean, he was a great guy over there last year, and he took charge and he was in command. But now just seeing him step up, and I think he's the right guy, and I know so because I've just seen him for 1 year, and I think it's a good fit because he was here, he's been here. He knows kind of what this team and this locker room has been going through, and we can just keep building.
How much discussion would you have had with Adam this summer?
Yeah, I had a couple chats. I think my chat in general goes a lot through goalie coaches. They always seem to understand goalies a little bit better, and head coaches are good with that too. But I think Futter, having played so long and seen every single situation on the ice and won so much, he's a great guy to talk to. And he's got kids, and he's a great teacher as well. So I think it's just really good to have him.
Did you ever see Adam play hockey?
I've seen him play. I've seen the highlights in YouTube. Adam Futter's last shift. It's a good clip. So I've seen that one.
He was a mean SOB. I can tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't mind him standing in front of you, clearing your eyesight for you, eh?
He would have been a perfect guy to play in front of a goalie. And I think that could probably translate into our game, too, just how we defend and how we box out and how we kind of stay hard in front of our own net. So I'm looking forward to it.
What's it like to play behind Quinn Hughes?
Dude, he's great. He's amazing just watching him play. And being on the same side with him for a year now, you kind of realize just how good he is and how good he can be. He's still getting better. I think, in my opinion, he's one of the best players in the world right now in general, and it's just really cool to watch him play.
You know, the thing about the Canucks, I think people don't talk about the strength on the blue line. This is a really good blue line. It's a big blue line. And, you know, you've played behind some pretty good defensemen when you think about Roman Josi, but I think the Canuck defense is going to be very effective in front of both you and Thatcher.
100%. I totally agree with that.
And I mean, so it was, again, as you look at this team this year, there's going to be some guys that have to kind of take that next step. And, you know, being the goalie, you have a unique perspective, you know, like all of us media watch the game from above. As a former player, you're watching it from the bench and everything kind of in front of you. Like, where do you think your team can take the biggest steps to kind of get the ball rolling? You know, like, what do you see? Is it the breakout? Is it the attacking? Like, what are you thinking that can really kind of get this team going?
I think all in all, it's just the winning habits and that swagger going into every single game that we're going to own this game. Like, we're not going to take any bullshit from anybody, and just, you know, have that swagger. I think it's going to be huge. And I think Futter is going to be great with that.
Do you currently have any goals and objectives for your own personal, or how do you measure success this coming season?
Yeah, of course there are goals and objectives. First of all, we want to make the playoffs as a team and be competitive and go for a long run. Individually, I want to keep building from last season and be even better. When I make the Olympic team, that's huge. But most importantly, when the season starts, I want to help the team win.
No, like mentality wise, you come in last season and you knew that Demko was going to be out for a bit and there was a big opportunity for you there. You know, he's healthy now and you're going to be that kind of 1A, 1B. Like, how do you, or do you shift how you go into the season knowing that you're not going to be playing every single game and being that guy, but at the same time, a massive piece because that tandem is so good?
Yeah, I think that's where my experience comes in. Like, I've been a starting goalie in Chicago. I've been a backup goalie there. I've been a starting goalie here, and I've been a backup goalie in Nashville. So I've kind of seen the both sides of it. And for myself, it doesn't really change. You know, I just trust my own routine and making sure I do the right things every single day. And whenever I get the nod, I'm good to go. Like, I don't have a switch that I need to turn on because it's basically already on when I hit the ice. So it's just easy for me to not think about things that I can't control, because that's what I learned over the years too. Like, if you get caught up in all the things around you and who's playing and who's not and what's going to happen, it can get you sidetracked easily. But when you control what you can and just do the best you can, then you can just trust the flow of life.
You know, in our country, there's always a discussion about, you know, who the best goaltenders are, who the best Canadian goaltenders are. We have seen over the last two decades, we've seen great Swedish goaltenders, we've seen great Russian goaltenders, we've seen great Finnish goaltenders. What is it about European goaltending? What is it about Finnish goaltending that we seem to see a lot of dominant players at that position?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't think I have one right answer, but there's a couple of things that are factors. And one thing is the quality of goaltending coach that we have in Finland and how much emphasis they put on that. Ever since the kids are like 10 years old, you usually have a goaltending coach. And goalies are valued really high because we have had these heroes that have paved the way. And there's a lot of kids, you know, playing street hockey and pond hockey, and they want to be, you know, the next Pekka Rinne or Mika Kiprusoff or Tuukka Rask. And we have a lot of these things that play a big role. But also, I think the Finnish mindset of, you know, we're kind of far up north and living kind of on an island too, and we're private people, and we're just kind of suits as well to put on a helmet and go do our job and not, you know, worrying about the business outside. It's kind of suits the Finnish mentality as well.
Were you always a goalie?
Pretty much, yeah. I obviously tried different positions, but also I always ended up in front of our own net blocking shots, so it was pretty natural for me to drop on the pads.
And so when you were 9 years old, you wanted to be Nick Backstrom? You wanted to be Mika Kiprusoff? Who was it?
All of them. Yeah, I watched.
But there had Nicholas to be one guy that had to be your favorite.
Yeah, I like
Carl. And you had his sweater.
I did. And I hate to admit, but one of my biggest favorites was also a Swedish guy called Henrik Lundqvist. but we did have a lot of great Finnish heroes that I looked up to. Like, my number 32 is probably a lot because Niklas Backstrom and Kari Lehtonen and all these guys who were not 32 with pride in their years.
Kari Lehtonen does not get enough credit for being as great a goaltender as he was, even in North America. Kevin, he was an unbelievable goaltender.
Yeah, and I think he played for 16 years or so. So yeah, that's pretty respectable.
Absolutely.
So I'll bring you back to 2015. You play in a playoff game that ends up going four overtimes. And I think you guys ended up winning 2-1. Like, you know, again, I was a player. Like, I think the longest I went was just into the start of the third overtime. But, like, you know, I'm playing every fourth shift. You're standing in the net the entire game. What did, first of all, like, during the stretch of overtime, what was that like? And then once you got off the ice, the game's done. Like, what did your body feel like? Could you feel your legs anymore?
That was a really cool experience. And what kind of helped me battle through is on the other side, was one of my best friends, Jonas Korpisalo. He was standing in the net. So I was like, damn it, like I can't lose this one to one of my best friends. And we ended up winning and we had so many laughs, laughs about it afterwards. But yeah, it was a really cool experience. I was super young back then. And I think they started bringing like soda and pizza to the locker room because they were running out of energy bars and energy drinks. So it was just fun and a great memory.
That's why you play the game, right?
100%.
I'm curious. You like shootouts?
I like shootouts. Yeah,
you do. And do you have a, not that you're supposed to give it away here, because I don't think NHL players are listening to 100% Canucks, but do you have a special move in shootouts that you usually do?
I don't have one. I guess the players do more than I, and I just try to react. But I just like the mental side of it, where it's one-on-one battle. You know, you step on the spotlight, I would say, and then it's just you against the other guy. And I just love that kind of competitive side of it.
Final question to you, Landon.
There's one that I didn't quite get to earlier, but again, like just kind of fascinated with it. Like how much, like you're getting ready for, you know, you're playing Chicago in two nights or whatever it might be. Like when you're watching video, like, are you watching and trying to pick up tendencies of individual players, or do you not worry about that as much as what the team that you're playing is trying to do? Like, what do you focus on trying to prepare for a team?
Yeah. And that's the tricky part, because you could put so much time into your homework against the other team and what they might do and whatnot, but it's still a game. And there's never a situation that duplicates the same way that it's done before. So yes, you do homework. Experience helps, because you know the guys in the league, you know how they shoot and kind of how they play. But most importantly, you just got to make sure you prepare yourself and you prepare as good as you can to whatever is coming next, because it's an unpredictable game. And being goalie, there's so much you can't control. So you just got to focus on what you can.
Kevin, we really appreciate you taking some time with us, and good luck when camp opens next week.
Thanks for having me, guys. I had a blast.
Kevin Lankinen on 100% Canucks. Landon and I'll be back after this. So, Landon, with a healthy Thatcher Demko and the versatility of a Kevin Lankinen, you do have to feel pretty good about Canucks goaltending, don't you?
You really do. And you know, again, the biggest question mark when you're talking about the goaltending here is, you know, Demko's healthy now, but like, is he going to be able to, you know, handle the season and how that's going to look? Everything points to that he's going to be on top of his game and be that, you know, Vezina-style goaltender that Vancouver Canucks fans are used to watching. But the fact that you know that Kevin Lankinen is going to be in that fold, in that, you know, tandem of 1A, 1B, because it's not going to be a true starter and backup role. And that's the best case.
Hold on. So when you say that, 82 regular season games, what are we talking about? Are we talking 52-30? Are we talking, you know, 45-37? What are we talking about?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be in that 50-32 range. I think, you know, especially early in the year, I think they'll try and keep them rotating, you know, that 2-to-1 range. But, you know, just like really trying to make sure that Demko is in a good position and feeling good and not overworking him. Because, again, it's not like you're putting someone in that you don't trust. Like, he is more than shown that he can handle a workload and give your team a chance to win every night. So, the, you know, the beauty of Demko coming back after such a tumultuous year, that you have that safety net there of Lankinen that can give him the rest. Say he has, Demko is scheduled to play the next two games, but his first game, he ends up having a massive workload, a ton of shots and a ton of east-west. Well, you can put Lankinen in and give him that day off and switch it up, just because you know that you're not, you know, you're not risking anything, because again, Lankinen has shown that he can handle big moments and big minutes for this team.
And let's face it, it's all going to be based on, you know, this wild and wacky NHL schedule that, you know, with the Olympic interruption in February and the compacted, the back-to-backs, the bad travel, You know, so it's really, I think, so important to have two guys, not necessarily a one and a two, but a one and a 1A, as you talk about, in that position. And I mean, Kevin Lankinen is going to play a big role in this hockey club, even if he isn't the starting goalie the majority of the games. Okay. Lots of rookie camps going on around the National Hockey League right now. What give me your memories of rookie camp when you went to a rookie camp, if you ever did.
Yeah, I up in Traverse City, that's where Detroit always...
Which was
always...
the best, by the way, the best rookie tournament, period. Penticton used to be really good. Penticton, when they had the four teams there, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver. But Traverse City was something special.
Yeah, and for us players, we thought it was awesome because of the setup and the amount of fans that you get into the rink. And it was a really good tournament. And then as I got older and you start to get to know some scouts and different people around the game. I don't know if they put it there because it was good for us or because the golfing is unbelievable up in Traverse City and everything around it is so good. But going in, and it's the first time that you put on an NHL jersey for a game. Yeah, it's the rookie tournament, but I still had the wing wheel on my chest. And you're going around and it's the first time that you can really, kind of look and see all the other draft picks that the Wings, for me, had made and all the other teams. And you can start stacking yourself up against the years that are a couple ahead of you and start to learn little piece by piece what it takes to compete at that level, because it's such a jump from major junior, what I was in, to that first game we played. Well, I believe it was actually against Atlanta, and Vancouver Canucks' new winger, Vander Kane, was Atlanta's first pick. And so, like, playing against him again, and since, we played against each other in midget and all the way down, all the way through minor hockey. But again, like, it's the first time you get that NHL experience and what that feels like. So for these kids that are about, they're in Abbotsford skating, they'll head up to Penticton to get that going, or to Seattle, sorry, actually. Right. Like, that's a big moment for them. That's, it's a really big accomplishment getting to put that jersey on.
Well, it's also another sign that we're one step closer to big camp and the regular season starting, and next thing you know, it's all beginning one more time. We'll talk to you next week, Landon.
Yeah, all right. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening and watching this edition of 100% Canucks.